Kind of happens often from this pulpit on a Sunday morning. Just kidding. Hey, appropriate to laugh there. Wow. No, that's ridiculous. So, okay. So, when I say there is a damsel in distress, what comes to mind? You can say stuff so we can all hear. Your wife, bless your heart. Okay. Other things. Pictures come to mind. Okay, excellent. A princess stuck in a tower. Good. We're on to something here. Damsel in distress, princess in a tower. What else is usually happening? Is she just happy to be there? Is she watching TV, doing her hair? What's going on? She might be spinning straw, depending on your fairy tale. She's been captured by what? By a witch. Okay, we could write that. Let's go with some sort of lizard-type creature. Okay, fire-breathing dragon. Perfect. Excellent. We are brilliant. We really should write this down. Fire-breathing dragon. Now, is that where it ends? The end? We're done? A knight in shining armor hears about her plight and does what? Risks his life to save her. Oh, this is great. We must keep reading. What happens? Is he successful? Let's say yes. Yes, he is. He evades capture from the fire-breathing dragon and takes this damsel home with him to be his woman. But something happens in our story. She is not happy and she leaves and she goes back to the dragon. What? Why? How could that possibly have happened in our story? Oh, I've heard people tell me, that dragon's so familiar to her. She feels like she's home when she's with him. Whatever. It's ridiculous. Life in a tower is no life at all. Life with Prince Charming, it's like living with me. Who wouldn't want that? Well, back to reality. We've been reading from the book of Galatians for the past month and a half, and really the story that we just told together is a bit of a mirror image to what's going on, but it has to have the ending I came up with, and it's crazy, and that's where we get to today. The Galatians had been rescued on Paul's first visit to them, had come to know Christ, they had the gospel, but something happened. We're going to look at that. So take your Bibles with me, turn to Galatians chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 8 to 20. Galatians 4, verses 8 to 20. All right. Page 892 of the Bibles in the pews there. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. But now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. And I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from the laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. Let's pray. God, we again pray this blessing upon the reading of your word, and our desire is that the truth of these scriptures would be opened up to us today, that we might be people of freedom. pray this in your name. Amen. So over the past number of weeks, especially a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Doug reminded us about our inheritance as God's children, sons and daughters. And this passage that we're looking at today relies directly on that. So really beginning partway through chapter 3 and up to here, the Galatians had just heard about their inheritance as sons and daughters as they have had faith in Christ. And before the Galatians had come to know Jesus, they were slaves to gods that didn't exist, so they were idolaters. And through their faith in Christ, they have been declared sons and daughters. And Paul wants to know what these people are thinking here in this place. And he has already been really hard on the Galatian people. Like, all throughout the first part of this book, he is just hammering on these folks. You know, like in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And the tone continues here into verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 as well. And the problem that he's wondering is not just the question that he might be asking himself. He even says it here, you know, has all the work I've been doing gone for nothing? And in verse 11. But he sees a significant problem for the Galatians in their faith, and what's happening in their faith. So what were they doing? Verse 10, Paul writes, "You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years." And so again, in previous message, we know that there are this group of Jewish missionaries, we'll call them, the Judaizers, many commentators call them, who have come along and been telling the Jewish people that they need to have several of these Jewish laws in place if they are to really entrust their salvation. And the only way they can earn their salvation is through these things. Even the word "earn" should give us some big red flags there. And so whether it's circumcision or keeping all of these Jewish feasts and holy days, these people are telling them that they're required. And even Peter was kind of a part of that. We know how this happened from messages previous. But Paul is clear about this fact, friends. There is nothing required for salvation besides faith alone. When we add a Jewish holy day as a requirement for salvation, we turn that holy day into an idol. Let's throw it outside of the Jewish realm. Say we have to also include Mormon baptism. As soon as we do that, our faith is negated because we are worshiping that thing. We are idolizing that thing as a way for us to fully accept our salvation. Friends, the only faith that saves us is faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And this is as black and white as our gospel gets. And I think it is encouraging us to live in the freedom from the old way of living. And that would be the laws. One of the churches I worked at before I got here, I arrived there and found that they were in the middle of a pretty big controversy. And it was about things being black or white. And it was around the issues of drinking and dancing. And it was a church where the people loved the Lord, but there were a group of people there who were convinced that the church needed to have a very clear stance on this in their wedding policy. And so several of the elders got this wedding policy, put it to the church, and it barely passed. And then we had a big fight going on. So keep that in your memory bank. I want to tell you another part of the story. I was the youth pastor there, and I got a phone call one night from one of my youth leaders. And he said, "One of our students just spun a cookie in the church parking lot. A whole bunch of people saw that. It's really bad. We're looking really bad in this community." And I said, "Wow, okay, can you call that student or their parents for me?" "No, that is your job." This fellow is a dear friend of mine, and I love him dearly, but for him, his whole world is black and white. And we entered into this conversation on the phone there about his whole mindset with these things. For him, he sees a ledge. Okay, and he is going to stay as far away from that ledge as he possibly can. And so that goes with drinking and dancing, and that's the whole thing. He's not going to have anything to do with any of them because just who knows what it might lead to. The only dancing he's going to do is at home with his wife. Didn't need to know that. Anyway, so the conversation continued, and we found ourselves really disagreeing on this idea of how we have to live as our brother's keeper as well, okay, which is also scriptural. But what does that mean? Does that mean him calling me and me calling that student or that parent and getting them taken care of? Not really. And I think that this fellow wanted to have things so black and white because it's easier, friends. It's easier to live in a black and white world. And I read through the scriptures and I have no idea why God has so much mystery wrapped up in this word that he's given to us, this gospel. All those things we can't understand, full of things we can't comprehend. I was sitting there in my ordination council a number of weeks ago and talking about a specific theological issue. And I don't know, friends, we might get there to heaven and God say, it's both. Guys, it's both. You can argue about it all day long, but it's both. And I don't understand that. It's a mystery I can't even, begin to fathom. I know we want black and white because it's just easier. But friends, I want to suggest something today, that when we live a legalistic life, it is indulging our sinful nature. Okay? Because Christ is he's freedom. Everything about him is freedom. Do you remember how Paul lived before he became who he was? What was his name? And what was he? Right, he was a Pharisee. He lived all of those 613 laws, or however many there are. All of them. He lived every single one. Maybe. I think he messed up too, right? But he tried to. And when he came to Christ, he was freed from those laws. He lived a whole new life. A life not full of the law, but rather a life full of freedom. I really believe, friends, that a legalistic attitude leads us to pride. We think we can earn our way. We think we can earn our salvation. And it also, I would suggest, makes our outward actions a form of idolatry. Well, these are the things that bring us salvation, and it negates our faith. So today, as we've encouraged you week after week after week, let go of the law. Let go of legalism. So let's continue here. In verse 12, we hear Paul's tone really change. In all of his writings, he seems to have a pretty good ability to balance kind of this verbal spanking or beatdown that he provides for the people that need their straightening out, and then some affection and some tenderness. John MacArthur, who is a commentator and preacher and pastor, says this. He suggests that these verses here from 12 to 18 are for sure the strongest words of personal affection that Paul uses in any of his letters. So he has just been going so hard at the Galatians, and then there's a huge changing of the gears. So let's read those verses again, starting in 12. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. So we read here that the Galatians accepted Paul in spite of his circumstances, and there's a lot of speculation about what these circumstances might have been. Some sort of a physical ailment that would have been people of that day would have considered to be something evil, and so they would just reject people based on some sort of, it was ignorance. They didn't know that health concern it wouldn't spread to them, or, maybe some of them did know that they would, like leprosy, but he had some sort of an ailment that he was suffering with. And the Galatians most likely would have rejected him, but they didn't. Instead, they embraced him and cared for him as if he was Jesus Christ himself. And so we can see here in the tenderness of these words, the love that Paul really wants to express to these people is a sacrificial love. But they were losing this love In verse 16, Paul asks them if he has become their enemy just because he is telling them the truth. And I think it's incredibly ironic, all this tenderness. And he even in the middle of his tenderness, lays on some guilt for them. We have to think about it. It is just such a strange situation. Paul has come and taught them about freedom. But what do they embrace? A group of Jewish missionaries who come and tell them they have to be circumcised and follow these laws. It's just ridiculous to think that that's the thing that they chose. Sometimes the truth, I think, for us is hard to hear. And even if that truth is talking about our benefit, something that we might think we would want, it still can be hard to hear for us, which it clearly was for the Galatian people. I have learned a lot about hospitality from my wife, and I want to know if anyone here can think of a situation, a quick story you would tell us where someone, provided incredible hospitality to you. Just a quick, brief story. I have a microphone. Here it is. Anyone want to share? You know you're in for this every time I preach, right? Okay.
There you go, Tommy. Brenda Bardell when my son
got passed away. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Brenda has been a close friend to many of us, and she's died a while ago. It's been a couple of years almost. Yeah. So she just provided great care for you, Pauline. It's beautiful. Thank you for that. Someone else. Life lived together. Hospitality. I want to maybe paint a little picture for you. Imagine that you have the opportunity to invite someone in. And when I say invite someone in, I mean live with them every day. Maybe your family brings in someone you might adopt. Or maybe there's someone who needs just a hand up and you provide it to them. And you really think initially that you're there to provide something for them. And they get there, and you start to live life together. You share community. You have a good friendship with that person. And through this experience, you find that you learn something incredible from them, more than you ever thought you would, just about what it really means to, be hospitable, or whatever the truth might be. You learn something from them. And you guys talked about it at length. And you realize that the thing that they taught you is life-changing. Even though you were trying to help them, something they taught you was life-changing. And you said to each other before you departed, I'll never forget this day. And I'll never forget what we've talked about here. And time passes by. And whatever that truth was starts to find its way into the further reaches of your memory and your mind. And you find yourself caught up in something that is the complete opposite of that thing. A truth that was so clear and so real to you. And then you get a letter from your friend because they heard about what happened to you. The feelings of guilt, of sorrow, of regret might fill you up. If we can do that, then we put ourselves in the shoes of these Galatian people. When we bring one another into community with each other, we're both affected. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of these Galatian people, we are people who are about learning and knowing the truth about Christ. He wanted to stay with us every single day. He has come to us, and we have this opportunity to choose Him and follow Him. And friends, I know too often we listen to wrong voices. Voices that seem appealing, but bring us down. And we forget about the freedom that's offered to us in Christ. I want to encourage you today to stay true to your calling. I have a really tough time talking about calling. Because I think that for us, if we're sitting in the pews, we want to say calling is something that happens to pastors and preachers and that type of folk. Friends, your calling is who you are in Christ. You are a child of God, okay? And when I read Ephesians chapter 2 to you earlier, read this to you again, just the last part of it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does. The good work He has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. And this work that we're talking about is your calling. But why do it? Why be about the work of your calling? Why be true to your calling? To avoid guilt? So you don't get that letter? So you don't read Galatians and find out, oh, stink, I'm doing the wrong thing. No. Why stay true to your calling? Why live out this gospel? Because we can have a heart full of thanksgiving. And I say that a lot here too, and I know how hard it is to live that way. But we have the opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning because we want to be. Because it is a privilege to live in this kind of freedom. We had July 4th not too long ago. It was on a Sunday. And the freedom that we experience to worship in this way is something that has come at a price. The opportunity that we have to know Christ as our personal Savior and go to heaven someday is something that came at a huge price. Jesus Christ, the only perfect sacrifice given for you and for me. And we have opportunity to be here to talk about it with one another, to praise Him for it, to love one another because of it, to love out of these walls because of it. You remember when you first heard Christ's voice? Oh, that sounds weird. I don't know what he means. I haven't heard any audible voice from the beyond saying my name. I'm talking about the time where you realized you wanted to follow Him. When you wanted to follow Him. Maybe you never have. Today can be that day. I hope your heart beats quick. The Spirit might be coming and laying His hand on your heart today. Knocking at the door, asking to come in. Let's read verses 19 and 20 again. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. Once again, Paul refers to these people with affection, and he uses kind of a strange metaphor of him being a pregnant mother, and the Galatian people being that unborn child that just isn't ready to come out yet, but he longs for it. He wants for that. He's looking forward to it with so much intention. But he was still unsure of what to do or to say. The verb here used in verse 20, poromai, means literally to be at one's wit's end. He was out of words. He didn't know what to do. I don't know how else to help you. Just as saying, Paul was not going to forsake these people. He was not going to give up on them. And this was evidence of his deep love for them. So as we talk about this freedom that we get to live in, this joyride that we get to be on, friends, I am convinced that there is no better way to live. And this is going to seem strange, but say God designed this whole world where we live as people here on this earth, and then we die and we're done. I would still choose this. This is far better than all the other ways that we can choose to live with, you know, full of brokenness because of horrible decisions and guilt. Now, we have those things even after we come to Christ. But we have something different. We have hope inside of us. When we accept this gift, this love, and choose to follow Him, something changes. And you can talk to people all throughout this room who have decided to change their life, decided to follow. And something happens that they can't explain. I am just so sure of what God is doing here in this place. You have the opportunity to decide today. Is the Holy Spirit putting His hand on your heart? Feel the blood rushing to your head. You're nervous. You don't have to be. It's freedom for you. Freedom from the things that you have let grab a hold of you by the scruff of the neck and shake you until you just are weak. You can't take it anymore. There's freedom from those things. In Christ. In Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to bow your head with me this time. If you feel like the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door today, with every head bowed and eye closed, I'm going to invite you to just look up at me and raise your hand so that I can pray with you today. Because today is the day you receive salvation. That would be your choice. Is there anyone here this morning who's sensing the Spirit on their heart? I also want to pray for those of us who have been letting the things that are surrounding us shake us and beat us down. We're wanting to live in this world of legalism because it seems safer and easier. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you want me to pray for you that you'd be freed from some of this bondage, I'd be glad to do that with you. Just slip your hand up, look up at me. I could pray for you. Thank you. Others, thank you. I'm going up. Others, thank you. I see that. Thank you. You can put your hand up, you can put it down. Thank you. Heavenly Father, today I declare that we are your dearly loved children, that you look at us, you look at our hearts, and you see what's there, and you just love us more than we could ever understand, more than we could ever love ourselves. Father God, I know that so many of us carry the burden of our decisions or the burden of things that have happened to us that we've had no control over. And we have so much trouble letting go of them. But God, your desire is for us to live in freedom. Some of us live in a world of black and white, and we make no room for the things that don't make sense to us. God, help us let go of that. Let go of that idol. Live in the freedom that your gospel brings us. God, I pray in your strong name that you bind the hand of Satan in the lives of your children here. Your Spirit just blow new wind into our hearts, that we would understand that we can leave this place changed and continue to walk with you and follow you with a mind that has been renewed. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for this time. We love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I hope that you go with God and remember that you are free.